I'm so blessed to be here. It's actually a miracle that I'm here. Two strokes, COVID, pneumonia. Devil's trying to take me out, and it's because God's got something to say today. This is a miracle that you're here and I'm here, and I would like to start off with singing this song that many of us seniors will recognize. If you're a senior, raise your hand. Amen. That's good. All right, here we go. Give the Lord a shout for that. I'm on stroke recovery medicine, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Our measure, our message title is The Great Shift from Great Suffering to Great Joy. That's our title today. And I'm living that. This is not just a message, this is my life. And I want to share it with you. Our scripture today is 1 Peter chapter 4. And I like to read from the Amplified Bible because I'm a board-certified hearing specialist in Taylorville, and I Amplified Bible. You know, that's why I do that. So if you're not wearing a hearing aid, come see me if you need one. 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us, arm yourself with the same thought and purpose. patiently to suffer rather than to fail to please God. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with intentional sin, has stopped pleasing himself and the world, and now pleases God. That's my testimony right there. So that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by human appetites and desires, but for the will of God. For the time has passed already, suffices for doing what the Gentiles like to do, shameless, insolent, wantonness, lustful desires, drunkenness, reveling, drinking bouts of abominable adulteries, for they are astonished in the same about the same excess of dissipation. Let's just pray a prayer for this message today. Father, protect us today. Correct us today. Direct us today. As we go through the fire in these last days, let us come across as overcomers, more than conquerors, victors in Christ Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the significance of suffering. And when I heard that prayer request, of all the prayers, there's so much suffering in the world today. In the last days, perilous times will come. In the Christian life, there's going to be seasons of suffering. You're either coming out of suffering or you're going into suffering. This is part of the Christian life. You don't see people signing up for the suffering conference. I've never seen Joyce Meyer do a conference. Come to our suffering conference. Nobody would show up, right? I've never walked into a friend's home and saw a refrigerator magnet that says, "You're going to suffer. Enjoy." I've never seen a refrigerator magnet like that. And you don't hear many preachers preaching on suffering. You know, it's not a popular subject. People don't celebrate suffering, but I want to talk today for a short period of time in the body of Christ where the church is going to go through a season of suffering before Christ comes back. Have you noticed evil has come out of the closet? Have you noticed that? Everywhere you look, evil and destruction is becoming more commonplace in this world. Almost every day there's some type of a shooting, celebrating gay pride, homosexuality is promoted on TV sitcoms. This world is getting darker and darker. The Bible says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This day in the body of Christ, you are not going to be able to have a double mind anymore. It's going to be clear which side you're on in these last days. If you're on the fence, you're going to be very miserable. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be an overcomer. Yet the words say, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's Bible. Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride, and God is going to allow some suffering to do its work in saints that are not right. But I have good news. This is great. The devil's on a leash. He can't just do anything. He's on a leash. Every test in our life has to be filtered through God's approval. Think about Job. The devil had to ask permission to test Job. Yes, he did. Everything that we're allowed to go through, listen to this, will eventually work out together for our good. I've read the end of the book. We win. Woo! I'm getting happy already. That's where our faith comes into play. Romans chapter 5 in the Amplified Bible, again. Therefore, since we are justified, you hear that? We're justified. We're acquitted. Oh, I hope I can get through this. We're declared righteous. Yes, we are. That's who we are. Let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God, reconciliation to hold and enjoy, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah. Amen? Amen. Verse 2. And through him we have access by faith unto this grace, the state of God's favor. You know what state you're in? You're not in Illinois in your spirit. You're in a state of favor. That's where you are, in which we firmly and safely stand. Let us rejoice and exalt our hope and experience the glory of God now. Woo-hoo! So let's talk about the glory. Moreover, let us be full of joy now. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. I can be full of joy now. Man, I can't walk very good, but I can sure jump. Let us exalt and triumph, what? In our troubles. Rejoice in our sufferings. Was that a typo? That just doesn't sound right. Let us rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship, produce patience, unwavering endurance. Endurance develops maturity of character, and character produces joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. And that hope doesn't disappoint us. The Lord is not going to disappoint you. Whatever you're facing, the Lord is not going to disappoint you. I don't care how many strokes the devil tries to knock me down with. I'm back. Hallelujah. That's not in my notes. Because he says, shout and celebrate and hope of the glory of God. Now. Not when I get to heaven. I can have that joy and hope now. Regardless of my external situation. But I want to zoom in on that word glory. Say glory.
Glory.
One more time. Glory.
Glory.
Yeah, hallelujah. God's power, that evidence of God's power is going to be manifested and revealed. In other words, he says, rejoicing because we believe that God is going to do something that is clearly God. You ever had God do something that was clearly God? It had to be God. Let me tell you what, when I first got saved down in Nashville, I was working as a forklift driver, and I had to unload a whole box car full of 70-pound bags of potatoes. And that was my job. I had to unload one whole box car every night. Man, I was tough. I weighed 110 pounds of muscle. I was going to Christ Church in Nashville. L.A. Chardbick led me to the Lord. I was working midnight to 8 so I could be in church. Well, they told me they were going to move me to a different time slot from 3 to 11, so I couldn't be in church. And I said, well, I'm going to quit then, because I'm not going to miss church. So I turned in my notice. I'm sorry, I got to leave. And my last day there, the plant manager came up to me and he said, Don, we've been watching you, and we don't want to lose you. Starting Monday, you're working days, and you're driving a forklift, and you no longer have to unload a boxcar. All you have to do is drive around on your forklift and tag pallets. And I thought, that had to be God. It had to be God, because I was a new man. I didn't have the seniority to be on days, but yes, I did. God said, I want you in church, so here I am. You know, back to the reality here. God is going to transition us to a place in our spirit that we are going to be holy, but it's going to be sometimes through great tribulation. Sometimes it's going to be through great trial. 2 Corinthians 12:19, God spoke to Paul. He said, you have my favor. My loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger. It will enable you to bear up under many troubles. For my strength and my power is made perfect. It shows itself the greatest when you're weak. And I thought, man, look at me. That's me. He's talking about me. I can't run as far as I used to. I built a pool 2 years ago for my wife. And I didn't build it for me. Then I had a stroke. And now I do my therapy in the pool. When I'm in the water, my right side is equal to my left side. When I'm in the water. And one day I was exercising and listening to praise music. And I said, well, Lord, I feel so normal in the water. That's the only place in the flesh that I feel normal. And the Lord said, well, why don't you stay in the spirit and you can be normal all the time with me. So I said, all right. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses, glory in my infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ may rest, listen to this, pitch a tent over me. Whoa! Do you realize that God has pitched a tent of glory over me in my weakness? Oh, I may need a cane to get up on the stairs and get down and get back up, but God has pitched a tent over me, and I'm telling you, before you leave today, that tent's going to be on you. Every bit of it's going to be on you. 2 Corinthians 12:10. For Christ's sake, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, distresses. For when I am weak in my human strength, listen to this. Now I am truly strong. Woo! Able, powerful in His divine strength. Oh, can you say hallelujah to that? Oh, hallelujah. A year and a half ago, about 2 years ago now, I had a massive stroke. My whole right side went numb. My body was just a mess. I couldn't walk. I couldn't sing. I couldn't play the guitar anymore. I could not lift my right leg. Could not lift my arm or leg. I couldn't even hold a fork to eat. My wife, Lori, had to help me shower. She had to help me dress. She had to drive me to therapy. I went from a wheelchair, and a few months later, I was in a walker, and then I had to try and walk around the block. I could only walk about 50 feet, and I started noticing the flowers coming up through the sidewalk. And the Lord said, "That's you. That's you. You're going to bloom right now in the Spirit, regardless of your external situation." After a year, I could walk with a cane. Just when I finally could function without her help, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, double mastectomy, and now I find myself helping her with the tubes in her body. Excuse me. I shaved her head. Oh, God. We cried together. And the devil would whisper in my mind, "How's your theology now, Don? Who are you going to look to now?" I got so sick of being sick, and then her being sick, I started studying suffering. And the first thing I noticed, my Lord and Savior, He suffered. The Bible said He learned obedience through what He suffered. Matthew 16:21, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and high priest, and be killed, and on the third day rise. And of course they said, "No, no, Lord, may it never be." Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He suffered. He offered up prayers and petitions and loud cries. Oh, I know what that's like. You know what a loud cry is like when you're going through this? God! To the one who could save him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission, although He was a son. He learned obedience from the things He suffered. And once made perfect, He became the author of salvation for us. Can you say hallelujah? In Hebrews chapter 14, Jesus wasn't alone. In Hebrews 14, Paul got drug out of town. He was preaching the good news around the world. They stoned him and left him for dead. When they had preached the good news to the town, made disciples of many people, they went back to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, establishing and strengthening the souls of the disciples. And that's why I'm here today, to strengthen you, to strengthen your soul as a disciple of Christ. Wow. I'm not the same man that I was before all of this sickness. Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand,
and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we all, it produces perseverance, character, and character hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us. So wherever you are along that journey, don't stop, because suffering is something you go through. It's not a place you stay. Can you say amen? In the suffering in the original language comes from a root word that has to do with threshing. Threshing separates wheat from the chaff. It separates the good piece of the grain from the bad piece of the grain that's useless. And God said, that's what I'm doing in you, Don. That pressure, I'm going to separate those earthly tributes of you that have tried to dog you all of your life. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to make you way more than you ever thought you could be. But it's something I'm going to do through suffering. Count it all joy. I go, why? And the Lord said, because I'm making you more like me. Say perseverance. Perseverance means you can cheerfully endure. Woo! You can cheerfully endure. It means you can take a licking and keep on ticking. That means you can put a smile on your face. Some of us are going through the fire. Some of you will be going through the fire in the future. You can go through some trials. You can go through some tests. You can go through storms without groaning and crying and complaining. When I was in my stroke recovery in rehab, oh, this is funny. Here, I can barely walk. I finally got where I can stand up in a walker, and I'm trying to make my way around the therapy room. And this 92-year-old lady was, she was like a race car driver. She was doing laps around me in therapy. I said, hey, Granny, slow down. You're making me look bad. I asked the Lord when I had therapy every day, and I asked the Lord, Why don't you heal me instantly, Lord? Just snap your fingers. That wouldn't be too hard for you. He goes, no. There are some things in your flesh that have been dogging you and dominating you that have to go. And when you're, listen to this promise. He spoke this to my heart. When your trial is complete, you will be free. No longer will your fleshly appetites have any dominion over you ever again. Hallelujah. Endure for a season, and I will make all things new. Woohoo! That's what he spoke to my heart in the middle of my therapy. This happened when COVID just broke out, and I was in the hospital. They wouldn't let my wife come and see me. They wouldn't let nobody come and see me. They strapped me to the bed. When I got in a wheelchair, they put a buzzer if I tried to get up. They were afraid I was going to fall. But when the Lord said, I'm going to make all things new, my tears dried up. There was a shift. It happened right there in the midst of my suffering. The joy of the Lord returned. In the midst of my suffering, sometimes I cry, sometimes I laugh uncontrollably, and sometimes I cry. It's because of the stroke in that part of my brain is kind of messed up. The joy of the Lord returned in the midst of my suffering. You can go through your test. I'm here to tell you. That's why I'm here today. You can go through your tests with a smile on your face. You can have joy in your heart. That's why Paul and Silas were in prison just praising God in their chains. That's why. That means you have perseverance, Don. You have a cheerful disposition about what you're going through. Not that the pressure's easy, but I'm working on you. You're not bitter. You don't get angry anymore about that. You're not resentful about God. Oh, when it first happened, I was mad at God. I couldn't play the guitar. I couldn't sing. God has given all these things back to me one day at a time. To be able to sing for you today, 2 years ago, I couldn't have done it. You can be an encouragement to the people who watch you, how you handle your suffering. Listen to me. I go to therapy 4 times a week. Here's what God said. This trial is for your purification and my glorification. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, listen. The devil thinks he's destroying you. The devil's so stupid. The devil thinks he's destroying you. But actually, I am perfecting you for my glory. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. I go to the gym. Still, it's a new life for me. I go to the gym every Tuesday morning, every Thursday morning, every Friday morning, every Saturday morning for an hour or two. I wear noise-canceling headphones because of the crap they play in the gym. You know, and So, you know, that's not in my notes either. I'm sorry. But three times, different ladies come up to me and say, "Don, take your headphones off. I want to talk to you." Here I am, you know. And the lady goes, "Don, I have enjoyed watching you over the last year, how you have persevered. Your healing they thanked me. Oh my God, that was so good. I just wept. When they left, I put my noise-canceling headphones back on because I got sick of them. And I said, thank you, Lord. I knew I was going to do this. I brought a couple of these because I know me. And here's a biblical truth that I've learned. I'm going to share with you. Until you get through your tribulation phase and go through it properly, you are going to keep going through it over again and again and again until you learn to live by faith through your suffering. Isn't that good? That's from God. So God, I count it all joy because I know this is going to work out for my good, to touch the lives of many people. That's why I'm here. Somehow, listen to this, some way, God's got this. And whatever you're facing in your life today and in the future, be encouraged. Remember this sermon today. God has got this. Nothing can happen to you without God's permission. God has to sign off on it. And if God, listen to this, if God signs off on it for you, that means He trusts you that you have the faith and are developing the faith to handle it as you trust Him through this trial. Can I hear an amen on that? Shout tribulation. Tribulation. Say it. Perseverance produces character. Here's what character means. You can be tested, and you can make it through the test properly. God is going to do a complete work if you refuse to stop trusting. That's the only thing that can stop it, is if you stop trusting. And God listens to everything you say.
So don't let what you say disagree with what God says. Endure your situation with a cheerful attitude. Be a good example. Take gold, for example. When gold is mined, it's mixed with dirt in the ground, has debris in it. And the goldsmith puts it in the fire. That's what he does. Till it becomes liquid. And here's what happens. When the heat gets up, the impurities come to the surface, and the goldsmith skims it off the top. All the imperfections are wiped away. Listen to this. They heat it up, and we asked the goldsmith, how do you know when to stop? How do you know when to turn the heat down? How do you know? He said, when I see my own reflection in the gold. And that's what God is doing with each of us. He's going to allow things. He's not going to do anything bad. God is good. But sometimes he'll allow the evil one to do something to see where we really stand. Where do you really stand with God? Those impurities are going to come to the surface. The heat of tribulation produces perseverance, and that produces character and hope. And then hope does not disappoint us. God's going to do a work through your test and tribulation no matter what. He's got it. He's got this. He's got this in your life. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. You're under the tent of his glory. Regardless of the impurities that are coming up, in your heart, you're God's. You belong to God. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. What the devil meant for evil, God is going to use it for his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 verse 2. Consider it wholly joyful when you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort. Fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial of your faith, the trial and approving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have their full play. You know what my prayer is now? God, don't take your hand off my pressure until you're done. Don't let me talk you out of something stupid like I said in the hospital. Finish what you started in me. That's his promise. He said he's going to complete you. That's what he says. That's what he says. And that's what I believe. Wow, that you may be perfectly developed with no defects. No defects. No defects. When I look at my body, I see all kinds of defects. But in my heart, I don't. In my heart, I'm whole. In my heart, I'm right. And my body's catching up with my spirit day by day. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. So brace up your mind. Sober, be circumspect, morally alert. And set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace and divine favor that is coming to you when Christ the Messiah is revealed. I want the Lord to be revealed in my life clearer and clearer every day. Don't you? Yes. 1 Peter 1:15. But as the one who's called you to be holy, you be holy because I am holy. Be holy in all your conduct and manner of living, for it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. And if you call upon him as your Father who judges each one impartially according to what he does, then you should come and conduct yourself in true reverence throughout your time on earth, whether long or short. We don't know how many days we have left, but I'm going to glorify God with the hours that I got left. Can you say amen to that in your life? Oh my. Here's my closing word, and then I'm going to sing, and then I'm going to pray for all of us. I have a closing prayer that I've prayed for the last several days endlessly, so I would be ready to pray it for you. God has brought me here, not just for me, but for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Listen, this is my promise that gets me up every morning, and I hope it is yours too. After you have suffered, listen, a little while. This is somewhere we're going through. This is a season we're going through. After you have suffered a little while, here's the answer. The God of all grace,
who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ. Listen to what he promised me, and this is your promise. He will himself complete and make you what you ought to be. I got to read that one more time, because that's stomping verses there. He will himself complete you and make you what you ought to be. He will complete you and make you what you ought to be. He will establish you, excuse me, and ground you, and securely strengthen and settle you. His dominion and power and authority over you forever and ever and ever. Amen. Can you say amen? I'm going to sing a song and then I got a closing prayer. I have enjoyed sharing this with you today. If you've been enjoying the word of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Oh my, let's do this. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks
with me,
he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own good, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever no. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my brothers and sisters in Christ right now. I ask that your glory, that your hand would come upon them in every way, that your favor and the hand of God would come upon my brothers. Glorify yourself in their lives and in the midst of their tribulation. I pray that your goodness would show up in their lives in Jesus' name. Your manifest presence, all of the manifestations of the gifts of God, and I pray that your presence would come and shift the atmospheres in their house, shift the atmospheres in their minds, shift the atmospheres in their families right now. I pray that you would come and change everything. I ask that the fire of God would come upon my brothers and sisters right now. and begin to change their hearts and their perspectives. I pray that their hearts would be yours, Lord, that their perspectives would be your perspectives right now. Give them eyes to see. Open the eyes of their heart right now concerning what you have for them, because it's good. It's very good. Give them the eyes to see what you're doing in the Spirit, what your plans are, what your plans of the kingdom are, and how good God is in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you for having me today. It's been a wonderful miracle time for me. I didn't know if I would ever be able to preach the word in a public place again, but God has done it